minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Glad you could be with us on this Wednesday. Wednesday already. I'm looking forward to this Wednesday. You know why? Because tonight, the UNC Bears going up against the Texas Longhorns, which just so happens to be my game of the week. So I'm pretty excited about that. Very thrilled that that's my... There it is. Are you pumped for this one, Michael? You ready for this? This is going to be a great game. It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be an excellent game.
It is going to be, I think it's a 20-point spread. So, I thought it was going to be 17. That's fine. I think this is a big measuring stick type game for the Bears tonight. Not expecting them to win.
I thought it was a 21-point spread.
Did you look at that already?
No, but I thought it was going to be a 21-point spread.
You didn't. Did you really?
I was very disappointed in Vegas.
Oh, there you go.
Isn't coverage taking place right after the Nerd Show?
It is. It's tonight at 6 o'clock. The PDC Energy pregame show starts at 6 o'clock, and then 6:30 is the tip-off, and we'll see UNC going up against the Longhorns tonight. I think they're 8th. I've seen some reports out there that are, like, saying they're 5. I mean, no, look at the standings. They're 8, so it's interesting. I have a question for you, Michael, before we really bust into this today, okay? Because I got a lot of stuff to break into. But you're a college football guy, correct? You're a big college football guy.
Yes, I am.
You love college football. Did Michigan State beat Michigan, or did they lose to Michigan? They beat Michigan, correct?
The answer is... I like to say that Michigan lost.
The answer is that Michigan State beat Michigan. They are both 9-1. Why is Michigan ranked literally right above Michigan State? Michigan comes in at 6, and Michigan State is at 7. They're both 9-1. Michigan State beat Michigan. Can you explain that to me?
Well, first of all, Michigan lost. There's a difference between Michigan State beating Michigan and Michigan losing.
Michigan
if you
State
make a mistake and then lose.
Michigan State won the football contest against Michigan.
Yeah, but Michigan had it
comes
in hand,
down
and then
win.
They fumbled it away.
It only shows 9-1, bro. It doesn't say 9-1, but also they had a game where they didn't win, the other team lost. It's 9-1.
But I feel like Michigan probably had a tougher road.
But they played each other, and one team won the game, the other team did not, and the team that did not is ranked above them.
Michigan, the thing is, Michigan probably should have won, but they screwed up.
This is what's stupid about college football. You are what's wrong with college football, Michael.
I'm not saying it's right or wrong.
Your reasoning is what's going on here.
I would put Michigan State ahead of Michigan, personally.
Well, they beat them.
Yeah.
I mean,
they beat them fair and square.
So if this was a championship game, would Michigan State, if this was a championship game between the two, would Michigan State be holding a trophy today? They'd have a championship trophy? Yes. So if the name of the game is beating your opponent, I mean, throw the rest of the stuff out the window. The strength of schedule.
You're basically saying the head-to-head doesn't count.
No, it does count. No, I'm saying...
Well, you're saying that the college football committee is saying that the head-to-head
exactly.
doesn't count.
They're saying head-to-head doesn't count, which is what the sport's all about, which is what every sport is all about.
I think what they're saying is that the head-to-head counts, but it doesn't count as much as so much of the
head-to-head
stuff that Michigan...
is what should count. At the end of the day, that's what should count.
They're taking into account head-to-head, but they're also taking into account a lot of other factors. I would still put Michigan State over Michigan, personally. But
Noob says it's the loss that Michigan State had. They lost 40-29, but still the same record, and they beat Michigan. So, I have a hard time with that. I mean, I guess you're saying that Michigan State. If you're going to say Michigan State just had an off night, Michigan had an off night or off day against Michigan State. Your boy Mel Tucker over there, by the way.
He's not my boy.
Hate to, stick up for Michigan State because of all the things that happened with CU and Mel Tucker. But, it's weird. Anyway, that was just something that was on my brain today. It was a very, very strange thing for me when you play one-on-one, you have the same record, and that team beats the other team. I would think weighs everything else. Now, if Michigan State had lost two, okay, I'll give you that. But they have the same record, and Michigan State won. So I have an issue with that. Yeah, tonight is a big, big measuring stick type game. Very excited to see how the Bears really do here. I mean, Jerry Schimmel's going to have the call for you. The Bears are a good team. I really think that they're a great team. I don't know how great. I mean, I don't know. Can they win the Big Sky Conference? I mean, I must say they have a shot. Preseason polls coming in, media and coaches polls saying fifth.
I want them going dancing.
They have actually never been dancing.
Yeah, well, we're don't make me angry. I produced that game, damn it. I was sitting in this, not
who
this
did little, they, who did they play? Did they play San Diego State?
Been thrown in the dumpster.
Did they play San Diego State?
Yeah.
In the first round? Was that, was Kawhi still playing? Was Kawhi playing at that time?
I think he was.
So they technically have been, well, technically haven't been? How do you want to say that? They've been to the tournament, but because of all of the stuff that happened with Coach Hill and that administration at the time, they erased it. It never happened, which...
They were there, but no, they weren't.
I guess. So none of the stats should count. So technically, San Diego State didn't win. I mean, I guess they got a bye.
Yeah, they won by... It was basically practice for them, I guess.
Mysterious says, head-to-head should be the final criteria, but you should only be able to jump one spot. You should be able to jump one more than one, so Michigan State should be above Michigan, but I'm just a wrestling guy, so what does that mean? I just think they should flip. They flip. That's it. And I get it, Noob. It's the team they lost to, but are you saying that, seriously, are you saying that losing to a bad team is more important in the standings than beating the team that's in front of you? Because I've seen, I mean, teams lose. College football teams lose. Alabama has lost a game this year. I mean, to what? Texas A&M? Isn't that who beat them? I guess A&M's ranked. They've had a weird up and down year. They were top dogs for a while. Now they're in a tough spot. Or they're what? Top 20, I think. I get where you're going. It's clunky looking to me. Strange. Michael, I got to get to my big story of the day. Big story of the day presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. I got two big stories. I got speculation stories. Where do you want to go first? Giannis Antetokounmpo for the Milwaukee Bucks, of course, stud player, signed a long-term deal, won a championship with Milwaukee. He was in a magazine, GQ, he was being interviewed, and he talked about the challenge of winning a title and how tough it was and what the next challenge is. He said this, one challenge was to bring a championship here, and we did. It was very hard, but we did. Very, very hard. I just love challenges. What's the next challenge? The next challenge might not be here. Interesting. He said, me and my family chose to stay in this city that we all love and has taken care of us for now. In 2 years, that might change. I'm being totally honest with you. I'm always honest. I love this city. I love this community. I want to help as much as possible. Well, of course, this connects to the All-Star game last year when Giannis and Joker had like a bromance going, and Giannis was like laughing it up, thinking Joker's the most hilarious guy. And we all kind of started fantasizing, right? We were like, whoa, what if those two guys formed a team and played in Denver? Now, I'm going to say this. I don't think it would work. Listen, I want a dream too. I believe that could be fun, but I've been thinking about this ever since the story came out. I just don't think it could work. They both are paint guys, but they can both play outside the paint. But they need touches. They both need a lot of touches. They need Joker to be the central focus of the offense, but wouldn't Giannis be the central focus of the offense? I don't think it would work. As much as that pains me to say. So you got that one. I want to get your thoughts on it. Russell Wilson talking about the future. He says, I want to play 20-plus years. talked about that in the New York Post. Kind of went on to talk about, hey, so wherever I go, they'll have me for at least 5 years. He says, I definitely want to play a long time, but I think once I'm done, I'd love to own an NFL team too. Man, he's going to have to get a few billion dollars scraped up there. But I thought that was interesting because he tried to talk about it like, hey, if I play, I want to play 20 years, so wherever I end up going, someone would have me for 5 years. Someone would have me. Not Seattle, necessarily. Someone. Boy, wouldn't he look great in a Denver Broncos uniform. And he might try to tackle a guy that scooped up a fumble, too. What do you think? I am having a hard time with this one. I have had this whole Teddy Bridgewater thing. Because there are so many people out there that are trying to make excuses for the guy. I'm telling you, I used to think that John Elway's issues were Broncos country. That was what was happening the last 5 years. Vic Fangio, Pat Shurmur, Joe Flacco, Case Keenan. I used to think that that was the biggest issue. I'm starting to wonder if it's not Broncos country. Because I'm part of that. But collectively, we seem to be fine with mediocrity. Joe Flacco's coming to town. Case Keenum's coming to town. Oh, Teddy Bridgewater, man. Average guys coming here. And I know Drew Lock was the worst quarterback in the league. Youth. I'm going to take chances on youth versus average any day of the week. And now you guys are making excuses for Teddy Bones. Yeah, but the 10 other guys didn't make the tackle either. Teddy literally put his head down and stopped running. And you're making excuses. You know what? This is what you deserve. If that's the kind of things you're going to say, that, oh, well, Teddy, yeah, there's the 10 other guys too. Teddy's the leader of your football team. He was also the last line of defense. And he put his head down. But you're fine with it. The idea of starting Drew Lock after the bye week is out of your the realm of possibility. Because you want an average quarterback named Teddy Bridgewater because you saw 1 year of Drew Lock and that was it. You didn't like that he didn't wear a mask. You didn't like that he does Buzz Lightyear things. You didn't like that stuff. So you want average Teddy Bridgewater. And you're willing to make these excuses as far as, well, the rest of the team didn't tackle it. Melvin Gordon shouldn't have fumbled. Brandon McManus shouldn't have got his field goal kick blocked. I mean, you could do should-haves all day long. But that happens. Mistakes in football happen. That's not a mistake. That is a choice to not try to make a play. So my Power to Play Sports poll question is up at thewholeshow.com. Would you like to see Teddy Bridgewater back with the Broncos next season? How about you, Michael?
Yes.
Really? Why?
Because I don't think everything is on him. I think it's too easy to blame him for everything.
Okay.
Now, he should have made an effort.
You just told me why it's not all his fault, but why would you want him to be the Broncos quarterback next year?
Because I think he's a decent quarterback.
And that's my problem. You want a decent quarterback here. You need to be looking for the next great quarterback.
We've got talent around him. I think he's a good quarterback that can run this offense. As much as I would like to have someone talented like Aaron Rodgers,
I'm not even saying that. You don't want Aaron Rodgers? I'll take him now after seeing what I've seen this year. I don't want to give up the farm for the guy. That's what I'm worried about. But
if
he's a free agent, which he won't be this year, but if he becomes a free agent, all right, now we're talking, but I don't want to give all these draft picks up. That's the problem, though, is I'm not looking for Aaron Rodgers. I'm looking for the next Aaron Rodgers. And you're not going to find him when Teddy Bridgewater blankets over this franchise. That's the problem. We are not patient enough with young guys, but we are willing to make all the excuses in the world for average quarterbacks. Mysterio, he needs wrestling practice to learn how to tackle. Get tough or get out.
I will agree with Mysterio.
Michael is wrong. Never in the history of ever had a decent quarterback won anything. You're wasting your time, Chris Carter. If you're not getting a quarterback to win the Super Bowl, you are wasting your time. Teddy Bridgewater is a waste of time. He was before, and I like the guy. I like watching the guy. You know, he's a good dude. I think he's a good leader. I really believe that. But I'm not talking about being a good guy. The Broncos aren't winning the good guy Super Bowl. You want them to win a Super Bowl, right? Is that the goal? Your expectations are flawed. 20 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. Talk more about this. Power to Play Sports poll question. And then we'll get to Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. We'll get to that. Michael Porter Jr. Is he ever coming back? Are we worried about that back? Let's talk about it. Man, the texts are pouring in. So we'll get after it when we come back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. And Michael's wrong.
$1,000 with KFKA's Cash for Christmas. Go to 1310kfka.com for contest details.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hole, on The Hole Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
I got to blame you on that one, Michael, we're bringing Mark Johnson in, and you intro with the CSU, former CSU running back?
Well, I'm trying to give Washington some luck because I don't think Washington's very good this year, and Washington's playing CU, so I have to...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have to mess with the CU broadcasters this year.
I see where you're going with that. All right, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, my friend, I know we got to get into some football, but I tell you, I am really intrigued. This Paradise Jam, you got the Buffs on one side of the bracket and the Rams on the other. Wouldn't you just love to see them meet up at the end of this thing?
That'd be awful fun, but first off, so you lead into me with a Ram.
Yeah.
And then I saw the other day on Twitter you had some big photo of all your contributors. I didn't even make the cut for that photo. I'm like Ronnie Dangerfield. There's no respect anymore.
You know, so in my defense, and I looked it up to see why that happens, it's actually more on you, Mark. It's retweets. It's all retweets and people that like you. So you got to start liking my stuff more, and I think that's it.
That's what it is.
From now on, I'm going to just start tweeting stuff, and I'm just going to start tweeting like stuff that you would appreciate, like Buffalo stuff, nature stuff, and I think I'll be in your wheelhouse.
Sure. No, I get it. But yeah, you know, and by the way, just on top of the, you know, the Ram stuff and all that, I'm not down in the Virgin Islands with the Buffaloes, so it's just another gut shot for me. Staying back to do football this week, and I got to handle a couple of women's basketball games. But yes, that would be awful fun to see the Buffs and the Rams meet in the championship game of that. But I'll tell you what, I know that when you look at the field of that tournament, you know, you look at Duquesne and you look at Bradley and you look at the Buffs playing Southern Illinois in the first round, and I think Northeastern's on the Buffs side. And you look at the field, maybe for your average college basketball fan, you look at that field and you probably don't go, well, that's a great field. But for people inside college basketball, they look at that field and go, there are some very good teams in there. So if the Rams and Buffs are going to meet the title game of the Paradise Jam, they've got some work to do those first couple of games, I guarantee you.
Yeah, no question about it. But Mark, isn't it so much fun, though? And again, I know you can't say that you're excited about the Rams at all. It's probably on your contract somewhere. But it is really fun. I mean, we've got the Bears playing Texas tonight. Basketball is really fun in the area. I know football is not quite done yet, but let's face it, football's been miserable in every facet for us fans. Basketball, though, we've got a lot of excitement surrounding some of these college teams.
You know how they always say, you know, that I can say something about my brother or my sister, but you can't, right? One of those kind of deals. you know, I kind of feel that way when I look at the other schools in the state. Obviously, I'm the voice of the Buffs, but I like to see when CSU or Air Force or Northern Colorado or even Wyoming, for that matter, you know, do well, as long as it's not against Colorado. So as long as, you know, when the Buffs play any one of those schools, they win, I'm fantastically fine with it. And then when those other teams go on and do exceptionally well, fantastic. It's great for the state of Colorado. So I like all of those schools until they play Colorado. Those days, I don't like them.
You and I talked about this, gosh, it's been a few years ago, Mark, but I think I asked you if this state could ever kind of become more of a basketball state because of the college scene. And my first thought there is, okay, that could happen, but Tad Boyle and the Buffs got to be the ones to lead the way. And that's no disrespect for CSU, but I'm just looking at the collective body of work that the Buffs have had with Tad Boyle. So I'll ask again. I mean, with a lot of excitement around this state, don't you get the feeling that it could be a basketball state? I know Broncos country, but a basketball state.
Well, you know, yeah, Broncos country without question. But, you know, I tell you what, when you got a team that can't compete for a division championship and has made the playoff for 4 or 5 years, you know, that gets stretched as well. That's always going to be a love for all of us here in the state of Colorado. But yeah, I mean, you know, it's easier. Well, let's put it this way: it's easier to become a very solid basketball program than it is a football program because the numbers involved, obviously, and the budget's involved, and so you can turn a basketball program very quickly. Where with a football program, you need enormous, you know, recruiting classes year after year for a number of years to really get things rolling. So it certainly is possible. And right now, there's some very good college basketball being played in this state, no doubt about that.
Are you shocked at all by the Buffs starting out 3-0? Because we knew, hey, a young team for the most part, but hey, so far so good. And as you mentioned, it's a tough tournament coming up, but 3-0. I mean, that looks nice on the win loss record.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, I mean, obviously that last game the other night on Monday night when they win by, was it 44, 45, yeah, whatever it was. I mean, you know, when I saw that one on the schedule, I figured that one would be pretty easy. Those first two are pretty salty games now. Montana State, I don't need to tell, you know, Big Sky fans there from Northern Colorado about how good they can be. Yeah, they're picked 1, 2, or 3 in the Big Sky this year. And then you've got, you know, New Mexico coming in here. It's a pretty loaded team. And what Richard Pitino's done down there, bringing a lot of transfers, that's a pretty good-looking team. I didn't get a chance to do that when I was in L.A. Doing the UCLA game for Colorado. But those were two very good games. And I knew those would both be very challenging games for a young basketball team. And I've said before to you, this team is exceptionally talented. I mean, it really is fun to watch what they've got in this team, what Tad has assembled. But they don't know what they don't know. And so you got to learn some hard lessons. And sometimes those lessons come with a loss. And so far, so good. They've been able to fight through, you know, periods of not so good play because they don't understand, you know, the continued intensity you have and taking care of the basketball and those kind of things. And so far, they've learned lessons in victories, and they'd like to keep doing that because once they get back, you know, as good as the field is in this tournament, once they get back, remember what happens with Pac-12 play this year. You play conference games early. They've got Stanford coming to town. They've got to go to number 2 UCLA. They've got Kansas and Tennessee coming to town. And so they've got a heck of a schedule coming up. They're jumping to the deep end of the pool very quickly when they get back to the Virgin Islands. So this is going to be a very good warm-up, and it'll be a great test to see if through those first three games they've learned some lessons now and can play some better basketball. If they're able to come back with, you know, a Paradise Jam championship and then jump into those list of games I just mentioned, it's going to be, I think, a CU fan certainly going to be very excited about that.
Well, a guy I remember you talking about this guy 2 years ago saying, hey, watch out for this guy. He's going to be really good. But that's, of course, Keyshawn Barthelemy. It's been fun to follow him so far. And obviously last game out, I mean, he was pretty sharp, pretty efficient too, 9 of 12 and then ultimately 22 points. But I remember you talking to us about this guy early on saying, look out, this guy's going to be one that's going to be one to watch out for.
Yeah, you know, 2 years ago when he came in here, he came in and sat out that season redshirted. Then he played behind McKinley last year, and there was certainly a learning curve. And, you know, what he is, he's a scoring point guard. I don't know if he's a natural point guard, but he's a scoring point guard, where McKinley was a distributing point guard, okay, who could score. Keyshawn's got a scorer's mentality. Think in recent years of Skia Booker. He's kind of got that mentality about him, and then he's got to also distribute the ball, which is why I think ultimately maybe by the end of the season you could see K.J. Simpson, the highly regarded point guard they brought in, who's backing up Barthelemy, maybe get a lot more minutes, maybe even be in the starting lineup and having a, you know, Keyshawn either coming off the bench as their first guy off the bench or you know, maybe those two starting together back there because, you know, he's just got that mentality where he finds points on the court all the time. So there are other aspects of his game he's got to work out, but he's extremely athletic. He got great hops to him. We saw him throw one down the other night. And, you know, he's got just that mindset of finding the rim all the time. And so, yeah, he's been awful fun to watch so far.
Yeah, no question about it. And this Buffs team should be fun all season long. But like you said, they're going to have some growing pains. They're going to have some stretches there that'll be tight. So we'll see if this group can grow up pretty quickly. On the football side of things, well, that UCLA game, I mean, it looked really good in that first half, a 20-point third quarter from UCLA, though. Ultimately,
let's
I mean,
just
it's
talk
like,
about the first half. What do you think?
Let's just talk about the first half of that game and basketball. Let's just rewind and just keep doing that. I think that we'd be good. What happened in that second half, though, Mark?
Well, and, you know, I'll tell you this. You know, Coach Barnett looked at me as we went to the halftime commercial break, and he looks at me and says, I don't like what I'm seeing. And if you remember, late in that half, they're up 20-7. There was about 57 seconds left. And UCLA got the ball and just went bang, bang, bang down the field and kicked a field goal as time expired. And there were some X's and O's things that were beginning to show themselves about that point in time. And Oregon really adjusted phenomenally, I thought, in that ball game, and began to run the ball very effectively, which they had all season long. It's not the first half of the ball game. And they stopped shooting the foot. If you remember that first half of that, they had some off-the-mark passes by DTR. They had some bad penalties, untimely penalties. So they did a bunch of things to really help Colorado out. And the Buffs took advantage of them in large part. Now, not totally. They traded a field goal for a touchdown at one point. But, you know, they you could tell there were some leaks. As Gary likes to say to me on occasion, we're leaking oil, right? And he said I there were some problems. He didn't like what he was seeing from a strategic standpoint as that game was unfolding. And boy, oh boy, did UCLA take advantage of it in the second half.
Yeah, no question about it. Now the Buffs looking to try to finish this off on a positive note. They got two games left going up against, as our wonderful producer back there, Michael said, his Washington team. And then you got Utah to finish this thing out. So
yep.
They're just looking for those positives. How, you know, aside from that second half in the UCLA game, Mark, it kind of feels like we were starting to see that. And Brendan Lewis had given us some of those positives to get excited about.
Yeah, I think so. And that's what was so disappointing. So, you know, in the first two quarters of that game in Los Angeles, you saw a continuation of that. The offense was moving the ball relatively effectively. Brendan made some nice passes. They ran the ball relatively well. In fact, Derek Brassard had over 100 yards in the first half of that game, and then it all dried up in the second half. So you've got a Washington team that comes in limping, obviously, this weekend. And they don't have a coach, and all the things are going on with that. It's a great opportunity. It's, you know, senior day game, final home game, all that. Because then you got to go on what I think it might be the best team, certainly in the South. And Utah is going to give Oregon a run for its money as to who's the best team of the Pac-12 right now. But then you got Utah on the road in Salt Lake City, which can be an awful tough challenge. So I think, you know, you really got a shot this weekend to take advantage of this opportunity, you know, finish out your home schedule on a win, feel good about that, see what happens in Salt Lake City next week, and then, you know, you head off into the offseason looking to build upon that. So, great opportunity. We'll see what happens.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Mark, my friend, I know you got a role. You're a busy man. I did tweet out that I'm having you on, so the retweet, right. You got to get in the inner circle. We need you in the inner circle. It's got to get there.
I thought I was in the circle, but apparently not. So I'll retweet and see if I can get in the circle.
You got to get in the social media inner circle. I mean, that's if you're not in the social media inner circle, what are you in? You know, I mean, that's
this
the thing.
Kind of like meet the Fockers here. I mean, either you're in the circle or you're not in the circle. I thought I was, but apparently I wasn't. I feel like Greg Focker right now. You know that?
Well, we're gonna do what it takes to get you in there, my friend. All right, I'm begging
Love
you.
It.
All right, Mark, we'll let you go, my friend. We'll be looking out for you next week.
All right, sounds good. See you.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. Yeah, so there's a weird thing on Twitter. And I've had a lot, like, Mark freaking Johnson. He's the voice of the Buffs. I want to be in his circle. But there's a thing on Twitter. Michael, I don't know if you've seen it. But you, it's like algorithms and stuff. So you go click it, and you enter in your Twitter address, whatever. Comes out, and it shows, like, three circles surrounding your profile. And it's basically people, if the algorithms are correct, that retweet your stuff a lot, that you tweet about a lot, that you get likes from, or you like their tweets, that's what it is. So if you look at mine, you see a lot of my insiders on there. And I'm actually pretty shocked here. I don't even know where the hell it is. But Mark Johnson's not on there. I mean, I tweet about Mark all the time. Every single week I tweet that we got Mark Johnson on. So I'm shocked by that. I'm looking at it. I'm trying to find it. It's way down there. Well, I'll never find it. But if you want to get in the inner circle, you gotta retweet. That's what you gotta retweet. You gotta like the stuff, and someday maybe you get in the whole show inner circle, and then that's how it is. Oh man, we got a lot of text on this one. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day: would you like to see Teddy Bridgewater back with the Broncos next season? We're gonna talk about that on the other side. But first, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
This is Nico Carvacho, former CSU Ram, current pro basketball player, and you're listening to The Hall Show with my good friend, Brady Hall.
Oh, boy, we're having fun here. Michael's filling in today. Angel's out. Michael's doing a great job. I know I don't say that a lot, but you're doing a great job.
I don't need you, sarcasm.
I'm serious. You are keeping... Without you, this whole station would just, I think, would just literally burst into flames. And I know you hate when people say literally. I think it would literally burst into flames if you left the station.
Well, you can use that word because it almost literally burst into flames once without me. So you're welcome.
It's true. But I like that you're in today because I also think you're part of the problem with Broncos country. I think you are part of the problem.
What, being a real fan?
Being a When George Payton told us we were going to go get Teddy Bridgewater, here's what I think some of Broncos country did. You remember the little lad who wanted berries and cream? This is exactly how Broncos country responded when George Payton said, hey, we're going to go get the most average quarterback we can think of to come be your quarterback.
Berries and cream, berries and cream. Oh, I'm a little lad who loves berries and cream.
That's the starburst ad from a few years ago. Cracks me up every time. A lot of people don't hate it and don't get it. But he's like begging for berries and cream. That's you. You're begging for, oh, please, Joe Flacco, please, Case Keenum.
I didn't beg for Joe Flacco.
Case Keenum over here. He had five games that were really good. Let's go get him. Oh, let's bring Brock Osweiler back. Let's go get Mark Sanchez came over here for a second. We don't have enough butt fumbles in our life. Let's go grab him. Oh, that's exciting.
I was not rooting for Mark Sanchez either.
You got to demand more. And what you said in the first segment of, oh, yeah, he's a decent quarterback. You got to demand more than that. You keep trying.
I'm demanding more from the offense and the offensive coordinator as a whole. I like Teddy Bridgewater. I recognize that he's not a Hall of Fame quarterback. I think he's a good quarterback for this system. Can we get a better quarterback? Yes. We can. In the draft, anyone that great this year?
Can Teddy Bridge... No, it's a bad draft class. Can Teddy Bridgewater get any better?
Yes.
Really? Why? I mean, he's played for 9 years. He's going to get better?
I think he can get better. I think he needs to... Well, first of all, you need to protect him a little
bit. I'm not disagreeing with you on that. The offensive line has been rough. The defense is not what we expected it to be. It's not... This team right now, I mean, they're 5-5. You're right. You come out of the bye, who knows? But they did what they did against Dallas, or was that absolute fool's gold at this point? I don't know. But it doesn't feel like they're 5-5. And that's not a good thing.
Well, you said some of that are talking about a problem with Broncos country. I think that's a problem that we have, is a lot of times we're negative about something. Like, we're 5-5, we're not, 10-0.
That's because
complaining
you have...
all the time. We're still in the playoff race. We're 5-5. There are 7 more games to go. I hate the 17-game schedule. It was perfect.
The reason people are negative about this is because you have the Chiefs that are just starting to catch fire. You have to play them twice.
Yeah,
you have
we're going to drop them twice.
See, that's based on what? Based on what you just did against Philadelphia?
No,
come on. Mysterio says, never again, Brady. Yeah, I figured I'd get flagged for that. Let's read a few texts. Eastside Chris, oh, you're talking about the GQ thing. GQ is probably more red in New York and L.A. than flyovers like Minneapolis and Denver. Listen, I don't think he's coming. I don't think Giannis would ever come to Denver. I don't think it would work. Weld County Swami, can we turn the Broncos fanboy mic off? I will argue the decent quarterback thing because of Trent Dilfer. So you want 1 in a million shot to win a Super Bowl? That means you have to have the defense that's amazing. Noob. Trent Dilfer says, hello. I know the defense was good, but they needed a QB in Baltimore that year to score points.
I decided not to say Trent Dilfer because of those two guys.
Pillow Fight Dan. Making the playoffs isn't the target. Winning the Super Bowl is. This year was all about Peyton giving Vic a chance. He gave him the players on defense to compete and Teddy to game manage. I bet over the next 2 seasons, Peyton completely turns over the roster. I would not disagree with you. Mysterio, does Micah play for them? He keeps saying we. He needs to go get his shine box.
You know what? I agree with him on that, actually.
Yeah.
I do agree with him because a lot of times part of me is like they, and then part of them is me. I'm a part of the team, and I need to stop doing
well,
that.
You're a diehard Broncos fan. I get that. All the things that Pillow Fight Dan just said, I agree with about, hey, he's going to turn this thing over pretty soon. But Zach Stevens yesterday on my show, our Broncos insider, who I just love, I put him through the rapid fire thing that I'm going to start doing with some of our guests. And here, listen for yourself. Are the Broncos a playoff team? Will they be in the playoffs this year?
No.
Is Vic Fangio the head coach next season?
Yes.
Is Teddy Bridgewater the starting quarterback next season?
He is, yep.
Pat Shurmur, the offensive coordinator?
Yep.
man, I'm running out. I'm looking for something. Courtland Sutton or Tim Patrick, or both on this roster next year?
Man, I think both, but you can't ignore the way it's trending for Courtland Sutton. He has 78 receiving yards in the past three games combined. That is not number one receiver.
Okay, on the playoff one, how far out? Do they miss it by a game, two, three? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think they're close. I think they finish 8-9, and I think if they finish 8-9, Brady, they don't make the playoff, but they're good enough where Vic Fangio's back, and I think if Vic Fangio's back, Pat Shurmur is back as well. It's not something that people want to hear. But a quarterback will be on the way in the first round, is what I believe.
So he's thinking first-round quarterback. I mean, let's look at that on the other side. Who sticks out to you? I mean, it's bad when, like, Mountain West quarterbacks are the main ones that stick out. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that's Mosher Funeral and Cremation Service. It's the only family-owned and operated funeral home in the Greeley-Evans area. Let the Mosher family help you through such a tough time. Live well, plan ahead. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
Want sports from the coach? Tune in to Clark and the Coach, weekdays at 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Adam Matas with DNVR, the DNVR Bar, and the DNVR Nuggets podcast, and you're listening to The Whole Show with Brady Hall.
I think the Hooligans are... Michael said this during the break, and I can't disagree. You think the Hooligans hate you?
Yes. That's fine. I don't care.
Have
I met any of the Hooligans?
They don't like fanboys, okay? They don't like fanboys that are just going to say things are puppy dogs and rainbows without real... And I know it. You're a diehard. There's something ingrained in your... You're like Joe Dirt. When Joe Dirt, his wig, it's so, his beard, he's so ingrained with, what did he say, white trash DNA, that his beard is just like white trashy. You're so ingrained with Broncos fan DNA, even if the Broncos start, I bet you picked the Broncos to beat the Saints last year when they didn't have a quarterback.
You know, I actually felt so positive that morning.
Yeah,
I going to work. I'm like, I just feel great.
I bet you. Shinebox Micah.
I've told you, I've explained it so many times why I think the Broncos are going to win every morning.
It doesn't make it, but it's not realistic.
No matter how critical
I can be
of the Broncos. I have been critical of the Broncos.
Pillify Dan says, we don't hate Michael. We hate his opinions.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
That was actually the nicest thing anyone has ever said to you.
Yeah,
correct?
That's the nicest thing. You guys are very verbally abusive.
Hey, they've said worse to me. They've said worse to me before. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. What's going on with MPJ? He got this back injury that really messed up his entire college career, which was the reason Porter fell to the Nuggets in the first place. And when you hear Michael Malone talk about him, you don't get this sense of a real timetable at all. And I think that's a scary deal because there's no real end in sight at this stage. So when are they going to get Michael Porter Jr. back? And even when they do get him back, what's that going to look like? And then the other thing you have to look at is Denver has been pretty good without him. I don't know that MPJ was right the whole time. You know, Austin Rivers, that was a blast out of nowhere. Austin Rivers was like, hey, I think MPJ has had back injury all year. I think he's had pain, which makes sense. That adds up. But how far away are we from seeing MPJ back? 57 minutes after the hour. Busy second hour coming up. Let's keep with this. We're going to talk about Vic Fangio and the Broncos more. It is the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.